Hey, are you tired of meeting with prospects only to have them put you off again and again, turning them into yet another missed opportunity? Are you tired of trying to do the same things in meetings and not seeing any improvement in the amount of business you're closing? Do you want to stop giving your time away in hopes that a client will buy something or someday transfer their assets? Well, Whiteboard University is our two-hour live workshop where we will teach you how to have engaging meetings with every prospect and client you meet with, how to quantify your advice so prospects are willing and excited to pay you a financial planning fee, and finally, where we teach you how to explain financial strategies in a dynamic, interesting way that will separate you from all the boring advisors who do the same old thing. If you're serious about having better client meetings and closing business faster, visit WhiteboardU.com today and sign up for one of our live workshops in November. Whiteboard University offers a 100% money-back guarantee if we don't help you improve your communication and meeting skills. That's WhiteboardU.com. We'll see you there. Well, welcome everyone. Thanks for visiting with us for another episode of the Becoming Elite Financial Advisor Show. Joined by a person who's been part of our community. We've worked with him. And one of my favorite things about just the community advisors that we get to know through this show and also through our paid community, our events. So if you're listening, you're part of this community, you're included in part of this awesomeness, is just the intellectual library and resources that we have really at our fingertips. And so I put a call out to folks to say, hey, like, what's something that you feel like you do really well? Or have done really, you know, really well in the past, and it's helped your business grow, to share it with others. And frankly, I had a conversation with just this gentleman here, and I was telling him before we started recording, it was so rich and it was so practical and it was so helpful. When I saw the meeting today to record the show, I was like, didn't we already record it? Because it stuck with me. Like the stuff you shared, I was like, dang, this is so helpful, especially for newer advisors. It's so practical. It was so like, just go do, you know, A, B, C, D, and you will get, you know, the result. So with all that, I want to welcome Joel Weimer from Kent, Ohio. Joel, thanks for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm really looking forward to this conversation, especially, like you said, based on the last one that we had. And I'm a big fan of what you and Sten are doing over there. So I've gotten tremendous value out of your classes that I've gone through. And so if we can add value into other advisors by having a good conversation here, I'm all for it.
All right. Well, let's do it. I appreciate that. So let's get really practical. So the topic we're going to be talking about today is college planning. And before people go, I don't want to hear about college planning, or I've already done it or whatever, I want to frame who this could help, okay? What advisors could take this and really run with it? I mean, there's an advisor out there listening right now. They're working out. They're walking their dog. They're at work. They're driving. They're stuck in traffic. They're somewhere doing something, and they're struggling to get leads. They're struggling to have stuff to talk to people about. They're struggling to get 20 people in a room listening to them speak and say, hey, I'm an authority on something. There's other ones that you know, they want to work with a different group of people. They want to work with a more 40-something affluent crowd. They just need some activity, right? There's some that have just started and they're just like, I don't know what I'm doing. I need to generate activity. So I think this college planning idea really taps into a lot of those. Tell me how college planning, because you don't do a lot of this as a lead generator anymore. But my question to you the last time we talked was, who could this help and how? So let's start with what kind of advisor could use this to generate not just the business from, you know, parents putting money aside for college, but right, to as a way to generate leads, to get in and get new clients.
Well, it's definitely a hot topic for parents. So I think the advisor who's working with younger families where they don't have a lot of assets to manage, which is where a lot of us make our money in this business, but showing value to them by helping them navigate through the college planning process. If maybe they have a middle school children or, you know, going into high school, I think that's where an advisor can step in and show tremendous value with those families. because it's something that most of our industry doesn't do a lot of time. You know, the default option is let's fund a 529 plan. And, you know, as far as that goes, it's great, but it's not really helping them navigate through all the pitfalls that happen, like figuring out financial aid, figuring out, you know, how we're going to pay for this, not put my child behind the eight ball with debt when they come out of a university. Yeah. Of course, we want them to have a great education, but I don't want to fund it through the use of debt. And I certainly don't want them to come out having a house payment, but no house when they're done with their 4 years of college. So I think end, that's tremendous value for that advisor. But I also think older advisors that have a book of business where there's grandparents, that now we've got grandkids coming into the picture where they're going to start getting into the, you know, the high school years, and college is something that maybe the grandparents want to help them with. That advisor can speak to that particular client as to how they can do that and help the family that has the child navigate through the system.
So again, you've got grandparents, you've got, you know, parents who want to start saving for this, obviously, you know, they want to start moving in that direction. I have to believe that the college planning is one of those things that if you can get in, it's a reason to get in early. You know, if you're an advisor and you're just starting off, or even if you've been in the business for a few years and you're like, I want to be in this business for the next 30 years. You know, well, you need clients for the next 30 years to stick with you. That's the benefit of being in the business, right? And so, you know, how can you get those? What's your in? What's your introduction, right? How do you get the meeting, right? And I love that phrase, you know, college, it's like the, you know, the house payment without the house, right? Mm-hmm. And so how do you avoid that? And I think that, again, the difficulty of college costs is to the benefit of any advisor who's listening, because it's scary. It's so disproportionate to just how much it probably should cost, and the cost of just, you know, it compared to income or other things in the world, you know, that I think it's a real pain point. So what are some ways that, I want you to speak to someone who right now is like, maybe, maybe not, like, what are some ways that you, I like to call them hacks, right? Like, what are some things you kind of go, listen, we're not talking traditional boring college planning. Like, what are the kind of topics that we want to have advisors learn today so that they have a different kind of conversation? Like the things like, hey, have you ever considered this, or did you know this? And they're going to be like, because you told me stuff. And I was like, man, I never thought about that. I've never thought about that as a strategy of what college to choose or how to fund a college. And just to be clear, I'll say it first so you don't get any heat. We're going to talk about ethnicity. Right? Your ethnicity and what college you go to, and those things matter in a really unique way. So I want to be sensitive to that. But yes, mm-hmm. Your ethnicity can be a real advantage depending on what college you go to, which I hadn't thought about that, right? So tell us some of the things that some creative, and we can't get super deep, but if you're an advisor who can learn how to navigate these things, then you could charge a specific fee for college planning in addition to assets and such, right?
Yeah.
So what are some of those things?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think the first thing to understand and convey to the family, that college is a business, right? Their business is to get your student on campus for the least out of pocket dollars that they can give you. So, I mean, that, you know, that's an aha moment for most people. It's like, oh, there's a lot of competition in getting a particular student on a particular campus.
Interesting.
So knowing that, you can put some of those things you just mentioned, you can flip the script and put those into your favor if you kind of know the behind the scenes, a little inside baseball there of what the college is looking for in the context of what makes the college look better. Not what, you know, everybody thinks their child's the greatest child. I think mine are the greatest children, you know, that ever walked the face of the earth. The college doesn't care. They're not emotional about that. All that matters to the school or the university is what makes us look better. Therefore, we go up higher in the rankings and, you know, we end up getting more students applying to our college. I'm in Kent, Ohio State, a couple hours down the road. They have 40,000 applicants every year mainly because they win championships in football occasionally. You know, there's 9,000, I think, freshmen accepted out of those 40,000 applicants every year.
And I think that's an important piece to remember. Like, we're not just talking about like, oh, it's so hard to get into Harvard. Like, it can be hard to get into certain schools just because, you know, the big ones have a bigger name and bigger marketing, and you know, that marketing that was the Georgia-Alabama game a few weeks ago, that's big marketing, right? You know, I want to go there and watch those games and be around that atmosphere and go to that stadium or whatever. And as much as people like or don't like college sports and the business of college sports, like, we know that college sports is a business. College itself is a business. And so you have to figure out as the customer, how can you negotiate and navigate that in the best way? So if you're an advisor and you're thinking about like, what are the things that I could begin to do? I want to ask you from a business perspective, what are the things you could charge for as an advisor when it comes to college planning? Is it, you know, I'm going to meet with you four times. Is it, we're going to create a map for you. Is it a two-part seminar, virtual? Like, if someone's like, okay, I want to make money planning, Joel, like doing college planning, what kind of things could they charge for?
I think the roadmap of how to navigate through when to start planning, how to navigate through planning of the college process would be very valuable to a client. So I think you can charge for that, definitely. And the things you would need to know there would be, first of all, filling out the forms. That's just a basic issue that most people fill the FAFSA form out incorrectly. So there's plenty of services out there where you can offload that to a service. And, you know, if you want to add your fee to that or whatever to navigate them through that process, that's going to turn into thousands of dollars of additional money that they can get out of the school because they didn't make mistakes on that FAFSA form. So on a very basic level, understanding the flow of money, where it comes from, there's three basic buckets of where money comes from that a family can tap into: the federal bucket, which is needs-based, right? And that's where everybody focuses on because that's all they really have heard of when they're thinking about, oh, the government can give me money for my child to go to school, so I should focus on needs-based money because that's where all the money is. That's not where all the money is. That a lot of it comes in merit-based, which is scholarships, GPA, et cetera. Maybe we think of athletics when we're talking about that. Or sure, the institutions have unlimited amounts of money to give out. And you hit on this. It's like they can give that out for whatever reason that they want to give that out, right? So if not even to get to the ethnic part of it, but let's say they have a tremendous band and they're looking for flute players.
I love that. This is the one I took notes on. Okay, yeah. So pay attention. This is a great example of the principal. So yes, They've got a great band. Like, I went to Indiana University. They had a great band. Okay. Mm-hmm. But what your point is, if they're short on, is it flutists? Is that a flutist? Today it is. If you're a flutist or a fluter, and that's the wrong thing, my apologies. People are laughing, and I'm glad you're enjoying laughing at my attempt to know what people who play the flute are. But flutists, if they're short on flutists, they're going to pay more for those that year.
Right. Right. And the competition is such that in the athletic realm, like, there's almost no full rides anymore. And, you know, unless you're going to play in the NFL on Sundays, those are the people getting the full rides to scholarships to college. But most of the time on the athletic side, they break those up into halves or quarters, and because they can attract way more people. Something like this, we're talking about a talent that way more people have, that they can research a little bit of the information about the school and what would actually improve the school, you know, the band and the flute player. Yeah. And that would entice the school to give more money to that student to come onto their campus.
So let's go back to even like, let's say if someone was going to structure their offering. Okay. So first is, I think that, and this is something we teach in Elite Advisor Network, we teach our live events, we teach in our coaching programs, teach at our Whiteboard University, is we don't do this to manipulate people, but we do use it to create urgency, is you have to scare people. And in the same way that, you know, this massive, horrible flooding that's happened, It's just like it's heavy on my heart. I know that area that happened around Asheville. Spent some summers there. But like, you better be darn sure that my family is more prepared today than they were last week, because like, that fear is real in me now about like, what am I prepared for natural disaster stuff, right? Okay. Because I'm afraid, and I want to fix my fear. I want to solve the fear. So when you talk about college planning, you have to say, hey, do you know that most people blank, blank, blank? And they're like, oh my gosh. Like, most people think that filling out their forms is not a very big deal, but that's where I've seen clients overpay $30,000 for college because they just literally didn't fill out the form right, or miss out on $20,000 of money from the government because they literally put the wrong number in a box, right? So that's something I help people with. And people are like, oh crap, like, am I going to fill out my forms right? So that's where you want to say, hey, if you don't do this right, you could really screw up, right? Let me ask you, on a really practical level, what is you think a reasonable fee range for helping people with just the college application, just the maybe not even the funding part of it necessarily, but just like how would you break up what you can help people with?
I would say to produce the forms for them. And again, if you farm that out because you're not confident in doing the forms, you can get that done for a reasonable amount of money. So
is that $100? Is that $500?
Probably $500. You can get somebody to fill out your FAFSA form, and then you know it's correct.
Okay.
There are companies out there that's all they do. But the second part of that would be to impress upon people to start early, right? Like middle school to first year of going into high school. And then start talking about college visits. Start coming up with a list of your favorite schools, 3 to 5 schools that your student wants to attend. Because you hit on something earlier that is absolutely, people don't believe this, but when they see the process happen, they're like, oh, I never knew that could happen. You can negotiate one school against another to reduce the price of college. It's like buying a car, right? You can go one dealership versus another dealership and say, here's the offer that they're giving me, make a better offer. And if those are competing schools, like I'm at Kent State here, all the MAC schools are roughly competing for the same type of student. So if you're competing against colleges that are in the same kind of demographic or conference, they're definitely going to compete with each other and try and give you the better deal to get that student on campus. Because ultimately for them, that's the big deal. Yeah, they can give away some money to get that student to stay on campus for 4, 5, 6 years, and then they're a massive winner in that situation.
I think, well, here's one of the challenges, I think, of helping just as an advisor is you have to create you have to create and help them sort of like realize like, hey, this thing you think is simple, there's a lot more going on than you think. Because generally people think you apply, you submit your forms, they tell you how much you can have, and whatever college says yes, you just pick which one. Like, that's the simplest version of this. Then you go into, no, you could fill out the forms wrong, and no, there's all these other funding sources. And then no, like, you want to get chosen by specific schools, but then also that's not when the conversation's over. Then you can have them negotiate against each other in order to lower the cost even more. And then also, like, just this is another big piece. If you think about the complexity and sort of the coaching part of this, and I do want you to give us some numbers of how much you could charge for this, but the idea that you would coach someone and say, listen, I want you to have real conversations with your kids about going their college path. You said something to me about the amount of freshmen that are competing for freshman spots versus juniors competing for junior spots. Can you talk about that real quick?
Yeah, those are the kind of things you learn as you go along, because getting into Ohio State's really, really actually very tough, right? It used to be just kind of a default school when I was leaving high school, going into college. Almost anybody could get into Ohio State at that point in time. Now it's really hard to get in there. So going to another school, like a community college for a year, and transferring into Ohio State second year, much easier to get in. So, you know, that's part of that. And it also lowers the overall cost of college, because that community that community college is way cheaper that first year than Ohio State would have been had you started there. So, right. You know, little things like that. And I think make all the difference. And it could be the difference between tens of thousands of dollars in the cost of college over a 4-year degree.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think any college decision is tens of thousands of dollars, right? That's just college now, right?
Right.
So I totally understand that.
The good point to because it's the game has changed for since parents were in college to the college process today. It's infinitely more expensive. You know, parents didn't have no clue as to what it would cost because they didn't have to pay those types of dollars.
But I would say that's a challenge as well is you also have to say it would be like if I was talking to someone about coaching baseball 20 years ago versus today, like or even college football 10 years ago versus today. Like it's radically different. It's radically different, right? And I think that's one of the challenges that, again, it's an advantage for the advisor to say, hey, moms and dads, your college experience, frankly, doesn't exist anymore. Like the way you got in, the affordability factor. I mean, I heard this stat and I've got to find this. But it was like, if you take the people used to be able to work their way through college. They could go to college and work a lot and pay off college by the end of college. I had to work a lot, right? But the idea that you could work your way through college now, like based on the average wage, that was like, you have to make $250 an hour.
Right.
Like not even it wasn't a joke. Like you'd have to have a job where you make $250 an hour to work your way through college now because college has become that much more expensive, right? And so that's the kind of stuff that for you listening, if you can walk up to someone and say, listen, I can help you solve this problem or this is how big this problem is, you have to create urgency, right? And clarity. And sometimes you actually have to add a little bit of confusion of like, hey, I know you think this, but this is the reality. So how much do you feel like you could charge for, let's just say you find a way to get 20 families in a room mm-hmm. and you say, listen, this is my specialty. I can help you with this, 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 and this. And that's the only thing you're going to initially offer them. It's not financial planning. It's not da, 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 but it's just, I can help you with this. How much do you feel like is a reasonable fee for that?
I think on the low end, $2,500. I think you can show tremendous value that would more than justify a $2,500 fee to walk them through that into the first year of college. And if we're talking about helping them through, you know, all 4 years and then, you know, maybe helping the family, because that's the, as you mentioned, I think that's the, you know, not that we're trying to trick people, but that's the hook to get your foot in the door.
Oh, and let me address that because I think that it's, you know, it's funny how much money that I've paid Apple over the years and I'm actually happy. I'm happy to have paid Apple, but most people don't start off by buying a $3,000 Mac, right? They start by getting a phone that's kind of, they used to be more subsidized, but you know, they'll buy something for kind of $50 a month. And then like, oh gosh, I'm going to get one for, then my whole family has them. And then we move to Mac selling and we get iPads. And it's like, the point is add value here and earn the right to add value in other places. But what we all know listening to this today or watching this on YouTube is that you as an advisor want to find reasons to talk to people about their finances where they go, I want to meet with you, right? And then once you get in there and you've earned their trust by delivering a great product, there's a really good opportunity to talk about the rest of this stuff, right? So it's never a bait and switch. It's how can I give you a ton of value so that you see, hey, I'm a professional. I can help you with this. And what about the rest of the stuff, right? So, you know, I'm happy to talk with someone about other things if the first thing they did was really valuable. So when you get to promoting things like this, how are you or how did you used to get people's attention to have these kind of conversations?
It's fairly easy. I think libraries are always open to having people in to have this conversation. So, and they'll help you promote it. They'll put it in their newsletter. They'll post the poster or the, you know, the flyers up around the library. I put some stuff on Facebook, social media. I would get people that way. I can see, you know, doing pointed mailers. I know people in the business who do pointed mailers just to get people in the room, and that's very successful.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of different ways to get in front of people. Go to the high school, you know, and offer to give a talk about, they'll bring the schools in, but that's a little bit like the fox in the hen house, I think. You know, when a college comes in to talk to you about financial planning, it's like, I don't know that they're after, you know, their incentive is to reduce the overall cost of college so much. So, you know, maybe get the, you know, if you have a relationship with a high school or a middle school, offer to talk to the parents at a PTA meeting or something like that. That's been a great avenue as well.
All right. You've got a lot of people interested, but they're also like, I don't know where to start. Like I went to college and I paid for college, or I'm still paying for college. Right. This is interesting, but I'm not a, you know, they're as much a specialist in Social Security as they are in college planning, which is not much, right?
Mm-hmm.
So where would you go to start to get better at this?
Just understanding the actual, I think you can create urgency with families, just understanding the actual cost involved and start asking questions about how they're going to actually pay those costs.
Yeah.
And then, I think if you put 10 hours of study and the information's all out there. If you put, and I'll be happy to talk to anybody, Andy, to, you know, I'll give my cell phone number out here. We can have conversations about where you can turn and, you know, some resources that you can look at, but
well, I'm going to make them at least look in the show notes because we have thousands of advisors. So I appreciate your generosity, we'll put your email address in the show notes.
I appreciate your concern there. So
yes. So we're talking a minimum of 2,500. I mean, can it get to 7K? Can it be a larger fee, or
if you get good at it and you can show value of, I made all the mistakes. This is how I know all these things. So,
And then
I ended up running into at a conference, as you do, you talk to other advisors at conferences and, you know, the guy just said, "Hey, I'm a college planner." And I'd been in the business 20 years. And I had no clue what that was. This is when my daughter had already just.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that. Yeah, I forgot to ask you. Yeah. This is a great and horrible story. So go ahead.
Yes, it is a great and horrible story.
Sorry. So
my daughter had just finished and I'd cash flowed that one. My son had started two or three years after she went. And I thought, well, you know, she lived at home, didn't take a full load. She kind of worked into it. And I thought, this isn't so bad. I don't know what everybody
said. As a father, you had had 7 years of college payment under your belt.
Yeah, exactly.
And you meet Bob, the college planner at the scene. And what does Bob tell you?
And I'm bragging to Bob because I thought, you know, hey, I've cash flow. My kids aren't coming out with any debt. I don't have any debt. I paid it all out of pocket. This saying pride comes before the fall.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I kind of got the feeling he was waiting just to drop the other shoe on me here. And he was. And he said, you know, I kind of hate to tell you, you kind of don't know what you don't know about the college system and how you actually access money out of it and pay for it in the most efficient way. You probably overpaid by $30,000 for each kid, if I'm guessing correctly. And so I immediately wanted to throw up, right? Here I am thinking I did everything right. And he said, for example, when you filled out the FAFSA, did you put your business net worth on the FAFSA form? And I said, well, of course, it asked for it. You know, and it's a lot like a tax return. So as an advisor, you're looking at, I can handle this, right? I can navigate through this. I know my way around a tax return. I can figure this out. Well, I put my net worth on. The very first thing that did was disqualify me from any needs-based aid of the business, because if you have less than what you don't know is, if you go read the instructions that are, you know, hundreds of pages, if you have less than 100 employees, you don't need to include your net worth of your business on the FAFSA form. So one mistake eliminated any potential needs-based aid that I would have gotten, which would have helped tremendously, you know, over those 7 years of payments that I was funding it after tax.
So internally, you're like, all right, I got to go find a way to make money on this because that costs me so much. Yeah. All right. So I want to encourage folks that nugget right there, and there's probably, you know, 50 nuggets that you could go find to use in different situations. But even that nugget of, you know, say, oh, are you a business owner? Yes, I'm a business owner. Okay. Well, did you know that if you fill out the FAFSA form wrong, that you may disqualify yourself for tens of thousands of dollars simply because you feel like you're following the rules, but the rules are more nuanced. And most business owners just actually end up costing themselves a lot of money because they just don't know that there are certain ways to fill out the form that are legal, but also allow you to have more aid. And they're going to go, no, because they don't know that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's where, you know, having stories about things like that. You know, I once worked with a business owner, or even if you're listening right now, you could use the story. I know a business owner who thought he was filling out the form correctly and put it in there and immediately negated probably $30,000 of assistance that he would have qualified for, but he thought he was doing the right thing. And in fact, he wasn't. And it cost him dearly. And that story is just the one we just told. And it's about Joel, right? But the point is, you just have to have a story for those different situations, right? Or my kid's really sold on going to, you know, UT, you know, University of Tennessee. Great. But did you know that in Tennessee, you could do the community college for 2 years, and that the percentage of kids trying to get into UT as a junior versus a freshman is, you know, 10x smaller, right? Or 1/10, I should say, 1/10 the size. So it's going to be way less competition. And it could, that decision could save you, you know, $100,000 between what it would cost for those first 2 years. Then they're going to go in with credits. They're probably going to get, and they're like, oh, I never thought about that, right? So, and it's like, yeah. And I would say this, friends, you want to get them to the point of almost overwhelm or confusion, where they're just like, well, that's a lot. And you're like, yeah, it is. That's why I help people with this, right? You don't say, now let me give you the 12 steps. You say, here's the first 3 steps, and that sounds really complicated. Yep. Okay. Well, then that's why we should work together. That's everything we teach in EAN is, let me show you something. And they go, that's exciting. I want that. Great. Now you pay me, right?
Right.
You know,
right.
Right. It's like a test drive. You know, take the car home for a day. That's fine. And they're like, I really like this. I want more of it. Great. Pay me. Right. You know, and that's a good exchange. Because also remember this, if your fee is $5,000, just say, this is a potentially $80,000 to $200,000 decision. And I help people better navigate it. And my fees are, you know, $4,000 to $8,000. So if I can help you navigate a $200,000 or $150,000, $100,000 decision for, let's say, $5,000, and there's a $20,000 or $30,000 swing based on working with me, do you feel like that's a fair amount? Like, you're asking someone that.
Right.
And they would go, yeah. Because if they say no, then you don't want to work with them, because you're like, forget it. You can't do it.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap up. I want you to share anything I didn't ask about that you feel like this is advisor to advisor. What else do you want them to know or remember when they think about college planning?
Well, one quick thing that you hit on that I wanted to, if you really want to niche down into this and charge maybe $10,000 as a fee, business owners are the people to really concentrate on. I think that's a tremendous value right there. So you hit on that, and I want to make sure we highlighted that, because, you know, that one mistake cost me maybe $60,000. For $10,000, would a business, and there's plenty of other strategies that business owners can use to help put their kids through college, and that's, you know, that's easily discoverable. So if there was one thing, I would say get families to realize that it's not always about the first child. You know, if you have more than one child, you might be better focusing on the second child and the third child, because what you're looking to do, like tax planning, is reduce your overall bill over the course of college. Okay. And sometimes that doesn't happen on the first child because they were a junior when you found out about this process in high school.
Right.
But
right.
You've got a ninth grader and a seventh grader coming along where you could drastically reduce that bill. And overall, you're gonna get out of the process with far less dollars out of pocket.
Right. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, we are going to put your email in the show notes. So, Joel, thank you for your time today. And folks, this is the kind of information we want to bring you. This is from our niche series. So if you have a niche that you feel like, hey, I figured some things out and I'd love to be on the podcast and share that with some other advisors, I'm just going to ask for you to tap into that generous spirit. And, you don't have to give out your phone number or your email. Like, you can just be on the show. Appreciate you doing that though, Joel. But I just want to remind folks, like, you know, we work really hard to foster a community of generous people, of abundant minded people. So if you're listening and you have any sort of niche that you've ever felt like, you know what, I've figured a few things out with people who own flower shops, cool. I want to have you on the show, right? So if that's you, just email me, andy@eadvisornetwork.com, and let me know what your niche is, and we can talk about that. Joel, thank you so much. I know that you're not doing as much of this anymore, but I want to remind folks that this can be a great place for you to go find new clients if that's something you really want. And I also think that for advisors that are newer in the business, you know, if you can get in with someone and their kids are in that college or getting close to that college, then they're probably in their, I'd say, late 30s by that time, early 40s. And that's a really nice time to get in with a family and then roll with them for the next. There's definitely going to be some insurance needs there, right? But that can be a really nice time to get in with the family and then walk with them for the next 20, 25 years. So love it for a lot of reasons. Joel, thanks for breaking it down for us. And folks, thanks for listening to the show today. And we look forward to having you back for the next one. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Joel.
Thank you.